One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire. No matter how difficult the situation, true disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers.
Hello, this is Aspen White from the University of Utah Institute of Religion, and this is a podcast series entitled Peacemakers Needed. During this episode, we will be discussing how we can find peace through the covenant community, which is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Today, I'm joined by Brother Sorensen, and yeah, do you want to just give us a few or a little introduction of who you are?
You bet, Aspen. My name is Griffin Sorensen. I've been teaching up at the here at the University of Utah at the U since last December, and it's just been phenomenal. I've taught seminary for about 10, 12 years, and I'm delighted to be here.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today, Brother Sorensen. So I just wanted to start off by, again, kind of like I already said, we're going to be talking about community a lot and the importance of community. And because we are at a university, how we can kind of tie in the covenant community to the university and what that looks like here. So just to start off, I guess I want to ask about some of the challenges that you've seen in your experience of creating this covenant community.
Awesome question. I mean, I think when we think of community, particularly as young adults, right, there's some interesting little aspects. Like, I would just encourage you to think, I hope I'm not too far off base, but when you're walking around campus at the U, how often do you see people with AirPods in?
All the time.
You know, and even just that, like, we might be on campus surrounded by literally thousands of people all day long. And how many genuine, sincere interactions do we have?
Very few.
You know, and we might have a couple here or there in classes, or we might even have it more rich. Like, we have some friends, we might meet up for lunch. But this idea of community is really fascinating, because we're surrounded by thousands and thousands of people. To bring it even a little closer, outside just the university level, where we definitely have some gaps in this idea of community, being part of the community of the University of Utah. But I would also even just like point out our wards. How many times do we have young adults who will go to their ward and just not feel like they belong?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've fallen into all of these categories and been a victim of all of these circumstances and situations, for sure.
Yeah. It's not crazy to think that we could have a wonderful, faithful young lady like yourself, Aspen, going to Relief Society. You're part of this group of, you know, however many other faithful sisters, yet we walk out and we just simply feel alone.
Yeah.
Or Elders Quorum. And so I do think that it's important for us to recognize that this idea of community, one, it isn't just natural. It's got to be focused on. We have to have the idea of it, and we have to commit to it, and we have to be very conscious in our approach to community, because we can be part of these bigger groups like the University of Utah and walk around campus and never talk to another soul.
Yeah.
We can go to church on Sunday and partake of the sacrament and have a rich experience there. But if we don't feel community, chances are we're not going to be jumping, you know, doing backflips to get back to church if we don't feel that community. So I think there's some very significant challenges. It's part of our culture to kind of be isolated, to put our heads down, to walk, and to not consciously be aware of the others around us and looking for those opportunities.
I think oftentimes that put our head down and do our thing comes from an idea of where we're not trying to bug other people or disrupt their day or cause them any sort of inconvenience. Something else that I was thinking about while you were talking was how sometimes we do find community. We build it. We make friends. We make the breakthrough in Relief Society or Elders Quorum or whatever it may be. And we often forget that there's lots of other people who are not yet feeling that community. And so maybe, I guess, one of the answers that I'm just thinking of, something that's coming to my mind, is when we do feel community, part of our responsibility in that community is to look at the outskirts, find other people who aren't feeling community, seek them out and bring them in.
Aspen, I think that's wonderful. If we could just imagine that, like what you just described, and have that be part of, once again, a conscious approach, that we're as disciples of Jesus Christ, that we are going to be builders of community, that this is part of our covenant relationship with our Father in heaven, and part of being a member of his church is to be that community builder. So if Aspen's going to Relief Society and she doesn't feel community, there is an opportunity there to act rather than be acted upon.
Yeah.
And for her to go and say, you know what, that was awkward. I don't have friends there.
Yeah.
Or I'm at Institute. I go to this class and I feel the Holy Ghost, but I walk in and I walk out and I don't really interact or mingle with anyone. We can change that. It's as simple as saying, hey, here's an opportunity to interact with people, to reach out and love. I'm not alone in feeling the lack of community. So what can I do? And there's some simple things to just consciously come and say, I'm going to reach out and use names. I'm going to talk to three people and ask them their name today in Relief Society. I'm going to have a follow-up question and just say, hey, what do you do? And just little things like this, not only for me to feel community, but also to be able to spread that and help others who were also not feeling
it. I love that. The responsibility for ourselves to kind of, yeah, we might find the community we want to be a part of. And sometimes it takes a little bit of work and we need to be brave. And then if we're already in the community, we need to help those people that are being brave when they show up and look lost and confused and a little scared. Be sure to seek them out and make sure that they feel that sense of community and the love of our Savior.
I love that. Aspen, even if you don't mind, could I even ask you a follow-up question?
Yeah, certainly.
Those of you listeners that don't know, Aspen is heavily involved in the Summit community, and that's our wonderful organization here at the University of Utah Institute, where we have a male and a female group. Aspen, what have been your experiences in Summit to help build community?
Yeah, that's a big goal that we have. This Summit is a group where we're just trying to make a safe place for people to come and meet, to come and connect, and to come and grow together, and with a huge emphasis on community, creating community. I can even briefly share my first experience with Summit. I got invited. I just returned from serving a mission, and it's intimidating coming home. I go to the University of Utah. Every single person from my mission goes to BYU, with the exception of like two other people. And so, I don't know, it was intimidating. I hadn't been at school for a while. I knew virtually no one. Came home with all these high standards and expectations for myself and want to have good friends, but didn't really know where to find them. And by some miracle, I stumbled into some different institute teachers and people that were able to direct me towards joining Summit and going to an activity. And the first activity I went to, I have never felt so wanted and needed at a casual hangout. We went up the canyon and we roasted some hot dogs, and it was nothing crazy, but everyone was there to meet other people, to include other people, create a community, a place where you can go without fear and meet a friend. Hands down, you can come alone and you will leave with lots of new friends and lots of familiar faces to run into around campus. And so that's something that is really important as we continue forward with Summit, is just making sure that we create that environment, that we create an environment of welcoming everyone. Being excited that everyone is there, and honestly getting out of our comfort zones. I'm not a very social person. Naturally, it takes a lot for me to talk to strangers and to get to know them. But through doing so, you make friends, you meet people, you make connections, you grow and you learn, and everyone is awesome. Honestly, everyone's story will surprise you. And if you really take the time to get to know a person, you'll end up loving them because everyone is truly awesome. And so that's something that we've been working towards creating with Summit.
That's exciting, you know, and particularly for, you know, the podcast class listeners, you know, we might feel even more disconnected where we're listening to this and we're driving and we're not part of, you know, the physical institute at times. And just the way you describe that, Aspen, I think it's very beautiful and descriptive of the opportunities we have.
Yeah, certainly. Something else that I was thinking about is, especially with the podcast class, like what you were just saying, there's lots of commuters at the University of Utah, lots of people that don't live near campus. I could relate to this and feeling secluded my freshman year of college when everything was online. I understand that, right? So what kind of advice would you give to those people that are maybe feeling secluded and seeking this community?
Great question. I think going back, stating this again from earlier, but just to be ultra conscious and to recognize the challenges we have and also the opportunities. You know, as you're discussing Summit, that's one of many, many opportunities we have at the Institute to come and to be a part of something bigger, right? For example, as well, you know, I just think of our opening and closing parties, and those are wonderful opportunities. There's always activities. There's with activities in our YSAs, our wards, etc. And it's just being able to say, hey, I need to connect some important doctrines to this idea. Because if I'm commuting and I'm living in Bountiful and it's Friday night and I have opportunities to go and be a part of something at the University of Utah, it's going to take an effort. It's going to take some motivation to get in my car, to drive those 20 minutes, to get up here on campus, to find parking. And sometimes we're just not up for that. And I think if we can connect the doctrinal dots, right, between getting in my car and driving the 20 minutes and the opportunity I have, this is spiritual work. This isn't just about my own pleasure coming and participating, you know, and having fun and eating a free waffle.
I love that.
You know, but it's going to be spiritual work. And I think the doctrine behind this idea of community is critical. It's not just for my recreation. This is coming closer to the Savior and being able to be part of the body of Christ.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, connecting everything that we do to the gospel. What an awesome thing. That's something that's so special inside the walls of the Institute, as well as that gospel conversations aren't just welcomed. They're expected and appreciated. And that's something that isn't super common up here at the University of Utah. And so I love that. Kind of going with what you were saying about connecting spiritual dots in creating community, or rather, what is the connection between the gathering of Israel and the covenant community?
And what a great connection. And I think even as you asked that question, Aspen, like that is a huge connection doctrinally. President Nelson could not have been more clear. And I think of the YSA, I think of our young adults in the church today, and I think of that moment a few years ago where President Nelson invited all the young, the youth of the church, to listen to a talk on Sunday evening titled, you know, The Gathering of Israel, and how he made it so clear that it's the most important thing taking place on the earth. And I think one of the doctrinal connections we have to embed in our souls is the idea of gathering. Like that word in and of itself, we've got to gather. And what we're trying to accomplish as a people, the doctrines embedded inside of us, we're gathering people ultimately to Zion. And Zion is, once again, the definition of what we're talking about today, community. It is a community of believers. It's a community of people that have one heart, one mind, a common purpose to draw closer to our Savior. And so the idea of gathering, going back to our example, if I'm living 20 minutes away from the University of Utah and I have to put some effort in, this is the gathering of Israel. And so sometimes as missionaries, we get like anxiety when we hear the gathering of Israel. It's like, oh no, I have to go knock doors again. No, as a young adult, a return missionary, so to speak, a young person like yourself here at the University of Utah, the gathering of Israel looks like saying, hey, I'm going to consecrate some time tonight. I'm going to go to a really fun opportunity or activity, and I'm going to go meet people. That is the essence of the gathering of Israel. I'm going to look to strengthen one another. I'm going to look to build relationships, once again, that are normal and natural. And just to say hello to people and make them feel welcome and make them feel like they're a part of something. So I think the gathering of Israel is like the keystone doctrine in this idea of community. And when we say gathering, I would just make sure when we say the gathering of Israel, we think of Zion. That is the end destination of the gathering of Israel, is a people with one heart, one mind, totally interconnected.
I love it. I love the responsibility that you're honestly throwing out to all the listeners. If we're in the community, it's our responsibility to seek those who are not in the community. Seek them out, invite them, bring them in. Love, share, invite. That's the formula. But also those who aren't in the community and have the desire to join the community, they have a responsibility as well. They have a responsibility to be brave, to connect the dots, say a prayer, get that little burst.
Like motivation? What are you thinking?
Yeah, get a little burst of motivation that pushes them to get here. And to talk to someone new, to reach out to.
Yeah, like Aspen, as you say that, like this burst of motivation, you know, it goes back to another connection that we need to make. And that is our baptismal covenant, right? Like once again, our baptismal covenant is that we're going to come together with the community of Christ, his people. And we're going to mourn with those that mourn. We're going to, you know, comfort those that stand in need and comfort. We have a covenant in the waters of baptism to be a part of this. So when you talk about like this burst of motivation, I think that on top of the gathering of Israel on Zion, this is another critical thing that we say that we can link in our minds and our hearts. I've made a covenant to be a part of this. And it's fun and it's exciting. And just to see ourselves, quote unquote, like in a social setting as being covenant keepers and fulfilling that wonderful commission that we have through the waters of baptism to be in the lives of others. That is a wonderful connection and quite motivating, hopefully.
I love that. Something that has been on my mind a lot recently over the past few weeks is the connection between our intention. The connection between our intention, the intention that we have to do something, and our execution. And I think that you can relate this to a lot of different things, but we can relate it to creating community. I have the intention of creating an awesome community here on campus. It's my pure intention. I would love for everyone to be able to walk on campus, but especially here in the Institute building, and feel welcome, feel like they instantly have friends. Sometimes my execution, though, is really poor. And I don't know, it's the same in everything. A lot of us have a really strong intention and desire to read the scriptures every day, to study, to grow our testimonies, but our execution may lack some days, and vice versa. Something that I know is true, though, that as we use our intention, we build off of our intention, and we try to execute it to the best of our abilities. And as long as we are trying to execute our intentions, no matter how the execution ends up turning out, the Lord will bless us. And so to bring this full circle, my promise is that as we use our intention to create this covenant community, as we not only intend to do so, but also try our very best to execute it, I know that the Lord will bless us, that He will provide us with opportunities to meet new people, to create relationships, and a really strong covenant community here at the University of Utah. I want to tie everything back into peace and ask you, Brother Sorensen, how you find peace in your covenant community.
I love it. And I love the question. I love your witness that you just shared. I also bear witness that as we have the intention and the conscious, you know, desire to build and to be part of that, you know, covenant community, that our Father in heaven, who is totally all-knowing, we can't use words like coincidence when we talk about an omniscient God, you know, but that my witness is that when I strive and I have the intent to build, to lift, He always puts people in my way, in my path, in normal and natural ways. And I know that those are divine little rendezvous, that simple conversation that sometimes turns in more than a simple conversation. And other times it's as simple as a hello and how are you doing today? But you walk away knowing and feeling that that was more than just a hello. And I think that, you know, when we talk about that in simple ways, it brings so much peace. I go to bed at night and I just rehearse my day. And as I think about it in my prayers of who the Lord put in my path, how was I a disciple in that interaction? What did I do to radiate love and kindness? It brings great peace to know that I am part of something bigger than myself and that I can be a witness of the Savior in normal and natural ways, in simple conversations, and that gives me a lot of peace.
I love that. Everyone is needed, and I think we can all find peace in that. It's really easy to, I think all of us are a little bit too prideful in the sense that we think that everyone cares so much about us, when really we should be caring more about other people and less about ourselves. Jump out of your comfort zone and go, because someone else at the function needs you. Someone else at that institute activity needs you. And so although it may be uncomfortable and difficult for you to get there, go because somebody else needs you there. That's something that I have seen to be true. I love that you said in normal and natural ways, God puts people in our place, in our path, and I know that to be true. Before we finish, we would just like to ask you one more final question. And it's a question that we're asking all of our guests in this podcast series. That is, what's an example of a time when you have been a peacemaker?
Divine rendezvous come to mind once again. And just this week, having an incredible young adult divine rendezvous connection come together, and we just sat and chatted. We had a very meaningful conversation about her struggles, some of the pain that she was dealing with, some terrible circumstances in her life. She's a totally faithful young woman working so hard to do what the Savior would have her do, and just get this really rough circumstances. Just to be able to touch base with her and to meet her at that moment and to be able to have a conversation together and to talk about the Savior and His healing power. I know that that conversation, that one little interaction, was divinely orchestrated. It was community base between her and I and the wider community of Christ in his name. And to be able to have those types of opportunities to talk about the Savior, his love. I know that he lives, that he's aware of us, and it brings so much joy and peace. I felt like a peacemaker in that incident just by pointing her back to the Savior, the Prince of Peace. And to be able to have her as someone that she trusted and cared about her, to be able to point her once again in just a loving, normal way to our Savior Jesus Christ. And it felt so wonderful. Not that my contributions were big, not that it was even, you know, anything out of the ordinary, but I did. I felt like a peacemaker. And if I can act in his name as a peacemaker and point this wonderful young lady back to the Savior, it is sacred ground that we walk on, and we have those opportunities all the time.
Beautifully stated. Turn everything back to the Savior is always the answer. He's always the answer. Brother Sorensen, thank you so much for joining us today.
My dear brothers and sisters, how we treat each other really matters. How we speak to and about others at home, at church, at work, and online really matters. Today I'm asking us to interact with others in a higher, holier way.
This podcast series has been produced by students at the Institute at the University of Utah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend.
To direct others to this podcast, to listen to other episodes in this series, or to enroll in the Institute class associated with these podcasts, see our website at overcometheworld.podbeam.com.
This recording is not an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The views expressed are those of the participants.